الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى وما تقدموا لأنفسكم من خير تجدوه عند الله هو خيرا وأعظم أجرا واستغفروا الله إن الله غفور رحيم صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Let us recite درود شريف اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم أما بعد Respected elders and dear brothers, Alhamdulillah, we have entered a month that is the lead up to the great month of Ramadan. We have entered the month of Shaban. Shaban is the neighbor of two great months. It is the neighbor of Rajab and it is also the neighbor of Ramadan. So by virtue of being between these two great months, this month also becomes an important month in our calendar. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this month, he used to fast more than he fasted in any other month besides Ramadan. Obviously, in Ramadan, he had fasted the whole Ramadan. But besides Ramadan, he fasted the most in the month of Shaban when he was asked the question by Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that why do you fast so much in Shaban? Then he replied that this is the month in which the deeds are raised up and the records are recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Annual records are recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The deaths of people, the births of people, all are recorded in this month. I therefore wish that my name should be written down in Allah's record whilst I'm in a state of fasting. So this month is a great month to prepare us for the month of Ramadan. It is just a matter of a few days before we will be into Ramadan. Today you can't even count. A week is nothing. 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Time is just flying. Time is moving very fast. Next week, Thursday night, inshallah, is going to be Laylatul Nisfi Min Ash-Sha'ban, Shab-e Barat. It's already halfway mark. We will be through the month, and then it's only a matter of 2 weeks, and we will be into Ramadan. So the believer starts preparing actually from Rajab already. We should have started, but if we did not start, then it is never too late. We can still start now in Shaban to warm up for Ramadan. Because Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Pirane Peer Rahmatullah Alayhi, he used to say that this is the month, Rajab month is the month of the planting of the seeds, and Shaban is the month of watering the seeds, and Ramadan is the month of harvesting the crop. So this is the opportunity that we have with us here, that we should try and do as many good deeds in the month of Shaban. Now we all know the main deeds that we normally all focus on, and those are the important deeds, like reading as much Quran as possible, trying to increase our tilawat of Quran. By reading more Quran in Shaban, our tongue will start becoming loose and flowing with Quran, so that when Ramadan comes, it becomes much easier for us to make our khatam of the Quran. But if we don't start in Shaban, and we're expecting that we will start reading very fluently in Ramadan, it is not so easy. So we got the opportunity to start reading more Quran now in this month of Shaban, so that in Ramadan our tongues are flowing, you know, with the recitation of Quran. Is also the time to engage a lot in zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the more we get our tongue used to the zikr of Allah, in this month of Shaban, more we will make zikr in Ramadan, as we know the zikrs of Ramadan, la ilaha illallah, nastaghfiruk, nasaluka al-jannata wa na'udhu bika min an-nar. These are the many various zikrs of the month of Ramadan. We start from Shaban so that our tongues flow with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nafil namazes to read, so that we find it easy to read our Taraweeh in the month of Ramadan. Because if we don't read any nafil rakats, now suddenly Ramadan comes and we have to stand 20 rakats in Taraweeh. We get tired and we feel, oh, we can't manage and so on. And the shaitan deprives us of the barakah and the rewards and blessings of the Taraweeh Salah. So if we read some nafil rakats now in this month, it will make us ready for the Taraweeh Salah, and that we don't miss one single Taraweeh, inshallah, in the month of Ramadan. We hear for every night the complete 20 rakats of Taraweeh, so that we can listen to the whole Quran from cover to cover in the month of Ramadan. So these are those good deeds, fasting, nafil fast, so that it becomes easy for us to fast in the month of Ramadan. We are all aware of these good deeds of fasting, of reading Quran, of making zikr, and of reading nafil namaz and so on. But there are also other important good deeds. They are easy deeds, very simple deeds, but they also hold a high reward in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are also the deeds that we should practice in the month of Shaban, Ramadan, so that we can continue with these deeds after the month of Ramadan is over, throughout the year. And these, some of these deeds are very simple, very easy, very basic, but a lot of people, unfortunately, they neglect these deeds and they do not regard it as a good deed in the first place. They pay no attention to it and they get deprived of the great reward. For example, to be cheerful towards people, to smile at people, to meet people in a cheerful way, and to greet people nicely, it's a very big deed in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a lot of people are negligent with regards to this. They don't even want to make salam properly. And if they make salam too, they are so glum and grumpy, as if they are all the problems of the dunya fell on their head alone, and they carrying the whole problems of the dunya on their heads, so they can't even smile, they can't even make a proper salam, they are not cheerful in their meeting of people and so on. So this is a deprivation, and yet to meet people with a smiling face, to greet people nicely, to be courteous towards people, this is an act of good rewards in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A great deed in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As one hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجه طليق. Don't think of any good deed as small. Don't ever think every neki is small, every good deed is small, because we don't know which one of those will count by Allah on the day of Qiyamah. We don't know which one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept, and through that we will get our entry into Jannah. Many great, great people passed away. They were doing great actions and great deeds. They were asked, did Allah Pak forgive you because of this big work that you did? They said, no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for one small amal, one small action that we did. We didn't even think it was important, but Allah loved that one small action and we got forgiven because of that. So we must not look down on these things. As Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions here, لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُفِ شَيْئًا. Don't regard any good deed as small, even if it is just to smile at your brother. You meet your brother with a smiling face, that is also an act of kindness, of goodness, an act of reward and so on. And it doesn't cost us anything. It doesn't cost us anything. But alas, so many people are depriving themselves of reward and sawab. And bringing cheer and happiness to a mu'min, to a believer, is such a great act in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make a Muslim cheerful. So if a person meets a Muslim brother, he just makes a little joke with him, or makes, you know, some light-hearted comment to him, with the intention that my brother will get cheered up, maybe he's got a lot of gham, or worry, or pareshani, or, you know, problems in his life, and I will just tell him one, two small words, and he will feel cheerful. We will think nothing about it, but in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, idkhalu surur fi qalbi al-mu'min, to bring happiness to a mu'min, is a very great act of reward in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, this is the first I would like to mention about five such small deeds, which people don't regard them as important. So this is the first of those deeds, that we should meet people nicely, make salam properly, be cheerful when we meet people, smile when we meet at the people. This was the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even when we go home, we should smile when we enter the house and make salam. We should not enter the house as if, you know, we are angry and we want to vent our frustration. So we enter the house, bang the door, just walk into the house, and what kind of manners is this? What kind of behavior is this? What kind of conduct is this? Is this a way of a mu'min? Does a believer behave like this? Where is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his life? Where is this muttabi'a sunnah and the follower of the sunnah, that he did not even make salam when he entered the house? He did not enter the house with a smile. That is how a believer must enter the house, nicely, smiling, with salam. So this is one deed that many people think is a small deed, but in the eyes of Allah, it is a very big deed. The second deed which I want to mention about is being soft-spoken and polite and gentle in our speech. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about this in the Holy Quran, وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي أَحْسَنُ. Say to my servants that they should speak in ways that are very nice, very beautiful. Their speech must be polite, nice, good speech, gentle speech. The way we speak to people must not be a speech of harshness, rudeness, abruptness, abrasiveness. We are just shouting at people, screaming at people. Worse than that, is to use languages, wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah, swearing words and so on. This is not the way of a mu'min. Ma kana Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fahishan wala mutafahishan. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was never vulgar. He never used swearing words in his life. He was a person who spoke with the utmost adab and respect, how he spoke to people. Today it's very sad that we find even Ramadan month, wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah, those F&B words don't leave the lips of certain people. Everything is this swearing. What kind of behavior is this? Even the non-Muslim people around us, they feel, what is the benefit of these people fasting? They can't even learn to speak nicely. What benefit was their fasting to them? How can a Muslim behave like this here? How can a Muslim bring these words on his tongue? And then we use these words so much that, sadly, in the home, the masoom little children, they also learn these words. And then the family are proud when they use this kind of word and say, yeah, say that word. What are we teaching the children? Is this how a Muslim is supposed to be? No, dear friends. We are supposed to teach our children the highest level of adab and respect in the manner in which they speak to elders, they speak to people, they speak among themselves. But how will they learn adab if we don't have adab ourselves in the way we speak? So a believer is not a person who is abrupt and harsh and rude in their speech. No, we should not be like that. We should not be abrupt with people. If you want to say something, say it in a nice way. You can say something in two ways. You can say it in a very harsh and rude way. You can say it in a nice and polite way. So why should we take the way that is a cause of unnecessary loss for us in this world, in the akhirah, and harm for people and hurt for people around us? That is not the way of a believer. That is not the way of a mu'min. So that's the second thing that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized a lot on kindness and on politeness in everything that we do. Inna Allah rafiqun yuhibbu rifqa fi kulli shay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's one quality is gentleness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's quality is gentleness. Allah is gentle. يُحِبُّ الرِّفْقَ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves gentleness in everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like rudeness and harshness in the things. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِنَّ الرِّفْقَ لَا يَكُونُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا زَانَهُ. When there is gentleness in things, then it actually beautifies those things. And those things become beautified because of gentleness. And on the other hand, harshness, وَلَا يُجْزَوْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَهُ. When the gentleness is taken away, and rudeness and abruptness comes in, and harshness comes in, it spoils it, and it makes it ugly, and it makes it bad. So we should take this path of gentleness in our speech, in our manners, and politeness in the way we speak to people. This is the way of a mu'min. The third action, which people think is nothing, but in the eyes of Allah it is a very great thing, and that is to avoid arguments. Quran condemns the people who are argumentative. Every little thing they want to argue. Just to quarrel about things. No. A mu'min does not fall into argument. A mu'min avoids arguments. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the true believers in the Quran, the beloved servants. وَإِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. When the ignorant ones, the jahil people, want to argue with them, make arguments, then they say, قَالُوا سَلَامًا. No, peace, brother, peace. I'm not interested in all this argument. You are right. Because otherwise, we'll just go on and on, this one tit for tat, everyone is trying to prove a point and so on. Leave it out. You are right. I am wrong. Chapter closed. There's no further argument. But the moment everyone is insisting, my view is only my way or the highway, as they say, then what will be the result of that? All will be larai, jhagra, arguments, disputes. So, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the reward of that person who cuts off the argument and he does not allow the argument to go forward. Ana za'imun bi baytin fi rababil jannah liman taraka al mira'a wa in kana muhiqqan. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I will guarantee a house for a person by the, you know, in the medans of Jannah. For who? For that person who gives up an argument even if he's right. He knows he's right. He knows he's correct in his argument. But what does he do? He cuts the argument off. He cuts the argument off. He knows he's right. But he cuts it off and says, no, you're right, brother. You're right. Some brothers were arguing about one matter, and, you know, we must do it like this or like that, sometimes in the committees, in the organizations and all that. So they came to one alim was there. He saw them arguing. He told them, hey, listen, you are right and you are right. Now get down and do the work. Stop all this arguing and all this wasting time. You are right. Now carry on. Do the work now. That's the asal thing, is to do the work. It's not about who's right and who's not right. Just do the work and get down with the work. So, therefore,
this argumentation is something we must cut it off. Many a time you find when there's social gatherings and, you know, get-togethers, family get-togethers and so on, one person will come out with one nukta. He'll come out with one point now, and now that will be the beginning of the argument. This one will say this, that one. Then the people's voices will become loud. Then they will sometimes, Allah forbid, start using evil words and swear words and so on. It will become an ugly argument. And then relations will be broken. And then they will go away from there, not talking to each other. And it can carry on for weeks and months. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ Therefore, if you are in a situation like that, especially in a family, amongst friends, family, in a social gathering, and somebody is making an argument, just cut it off and say, brother, you are right, man. Khalas, chapter closed. You are right, I'm wrong. Because the moment we are going to, like on a lighter note now, the husband and wife now, they were having some issues, so they sat down to discuss. So, the husband told the wife, you know what, you are right. But she said, we didn't even start the discussion and you are saying I'm right. He said, yeah, I want to save time. Because if I say no, then you'll carry on and on and on and on, eh? And it will never stop. So before you even start, you are right. So now what more can the lady say after that? Stop, the argument just stopped there. So nevertheless, this is the third important deed, that avoid arguments. Don't get into argumentation. There's no benefit in dunya, there's no benefit in akhirah. And the fourth good deed that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged the ummah to put into place is, which is something, as I said, that many a times we don't think these are good deeds. Spending on one's family. Spending on one's family. Every person works, earns for what? For their wife, children to be happy, and to be comfortable, and to have whatever they need, whatever they require, what they desire. He tried his best to work hard, make sacrifices for his family to be happy and to be comfortable. But many a times people do this without even thinking that it is a good deed. In actual fact, this is a very great deed in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they just do it for the sake of doing it. But it is not considered a good deed to spend on the family. For a person to spend on his family is a very big deed in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, a dinar, the person spends on his, in the path of Allah. One dinar he spends in freeing a slave. One dinar he gives towards the poor. And one dinar he spends on his family. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the greatest reward is for that one dinar which he spent on his family. The greatest reward is for that, more than everything else. The ulama explained the reason. And that is because what he spent on his family is wajib, compulsory. All the others is just nafil. And wajib is greater than nafil. Therefore he gets greater reward for spending on his family. And on top of that, obviously, the family will be happy, they will be content, and there will be harmony. Because now whatever they need, he's providing for them within his means, what is possible. He's providing for them. He's getting reward for them. A person should not hold back when he has the means on spending on his family. He should make them happy, buy for them what they need within reasonable means, not going into israf and not going to extravagance, but buying what they require, buying for the house happily. That is also a very great deed in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are many, many small deeds that many people don't even regard as important. We only think that reading namaz and fasting and, you know, going for hajj, umrah, these are the only good deeds. No, these are the greatest of good deeds. But there are many other smaller deeds. They are also good deeds. And we should practice on these deeds. And we should bring these deeds alive. because every one of these good deeds will count for us on Yawmul Qiyamah, and every one of these good deeds will be in our Mizan Hasanat on Yawmul Qiyamah. Allah make hidayat, guidance, grant us to spend the rest of Shaban in the best possible way. Allah Ta'ala grant us to take the full reward and sawab of Laylatul Barat or Shabe Barat. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we can spend our Ramadan in the best possible way, that we make it the best Ramadan. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala keep us with good health and strength and tawfiq and guidance so that we can make the best of whatever days are left of our life. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.